the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. It is Wednesday once again. I'm off work and feeling much better than last week. With me, as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everyone.
It's my personal birth week. I turned 33 this past Saturday. Colin, how old are you? I forget.
39.
39 big years of age. And Colin is no longer a virgin, but we'll get to that here in a second. For my birthday, we actually ate, my parents took my wife and I out to the Pepper Tree, which is a restaurant that is literally just below where Colin and I work. Excellent food at the Pepper Tree. Pass it every day. Never had a chance to go in and try the food, but I would definitely recommend it. If you're in Colorado Springs and you're trying to impress somebody and you got a little bit of money to spend, the Pepper Tree is a good choice. Not open on Sundays. We went on Saturday, this past Saturday, and we're very impressed. What we are talking about, of course, is the Freak Train. Woo-woo! Colin lost his Freak Train virginity over the this past Monday, actually. Not over the weekend, necessarily, but this past Monday. And you know what? I have never been more proud.
Yeah, and much like losing your virginity, there was a lot of fumbling and awkwardness and tears.
You know, I was so jealous of your cheat sheet that I wrote my act on my left hand, and I kept checking.
Ah, that's what you're doing.
I kept meaning to make a joke about that, and I just forgot to. So instead, it just looked like I'm reading off my hand, which was stupid, as opposed to doing it and making a joke about it. I just did it.
Right.
Which was really smart. The videos of the big performances are up at sonofcheese.com, the Colin and Pat Angelo. And Colin, of course, slyly was able to give the audience at Freak Train the big flip-off sign not once but twice. Did you plan that?
No, that was totally accident. I feel mortified that I did that. I hope nobody got offended.
Oh, nobody got offended. You know what? You could go up on stage at Freak Train and do nothing but flip everybody off for 5 minutes, and it would still fall within the guidelines of Freak Train.
I know, but you know me. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Aw. That's just funny. That's all I gotta say. That's just funny. So tell us exactly how was it?
How was
being on stage for the first time?
Scary. Very scary.
Yeah, you were able to overcome palpable stage fright, and you even said right up front, "Look, guys, I have stage fright. I am mortified to be up here."
Yeah.
But you did it.
Yeah, I did, but halfway through I started shaking and I couldn't stop and it was getting worse. So I'm just glad I didn't like go into an epileptic fit or something.
I would have paid money to see that. And again, you know, the rest of the crowd at Freak Train probably would have loved it.
Yeah, probably. And actually, I was surprised I went to 4 minutes, according to your YouTube time thing for the video.
Yeah, no, well, you know, that's the thing. When you can read it static at home, you're always going to be short. You have to add in time for fumbling, time for people to laugh, you know, and that happens. That happens when you do. In fact, on Monday, during my act, my little stand-up thing, I left out an entire chunk. But because I had written it all as just random chunks, it wasn't missed. The only person who missed it was me. But I was thinking, okay, I'm running along, and I want to get the commercial in, the commercial for Corpus Christi.
Right.
And, of course, the video of my performance, I will post on Friday. Not that anybody's, you know, sitting on the edge of their seat waiting with bated breath to see me do yet another crappy stand-up routine. But in case you are, in case you actually have no life, Friday at sonofcheese.com will be when I post that. Although it is up on my YouTube site, so if you're even slightly technologically inclined, you could find it. It's not that hard.
Yes. I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah.
That's all you have to say. Well, yeah. I mean, you might say, well, how was the bad Italian food at Patsy's? Patsy's
actually,
is an Italian restaurant right across the street from Freak Train. It's actually a sponsor of Freak Train, and it's almost like an initiation. You have to eat there like one time at least.
Yeah.
I was not impressed the time
well,
I ate.
What did you have?
And so instead I sent you there.
You did. That was nice of you. But what did you have?
Well, when I had the chicken parmesan, yeah, and it was all right. My wife had a big giant slab of lasagna that was like dog shit.
Well, yeah, I didn't do the lasagna, but Katie came over to our table, Pat's wife, yeah, and I asked her what she would suggest, and she said if you like spicy, to go with the homemade thin spaghetti,
yeah,
with spicy red sauce, and that was actually quite tasty.
Hmm.
But the funny thing is their homemade thin spaghetti, I was thinking, you know, thin spaghetti,
right,
it's thicker than regular spaghetti, and their homemade spaghetti is like 6 noodles in one.
Really?
It's huge.
Wow, that's
huge.
Hmm.
It's good. It is actually pretty good.
Huh.
Overpriced, but good.
Overpriced. Yeah. See, I thought their prices were reasonable. So I lied to you twice. I told you their food was terrible, but their prices were reasonable. You liked the food, but found them to be overpriced.
Yeah, I still stayed away from the bathroom, though, just in case you were right about one of them. But
well, the reason I told you not to go in the bathroom is I know how you are.
I am.
With hygiene and food and how freaked out you get.
Okay.
And you would have noticed that the urinal trough in the bathroom at Patsy's is filled with ice.
Oh.
And then you would go back to your table and you would look at your drink and you would say, that's the same ice.
You actually.
And then you. Then the thoughts would start to go around in your head.
I'm 39 years old. You don't think I've been at a trough that had ice in it?
Yeah, but. You know, you're a little weird. I just didn't want you to. I mean, you had enough to freak out about on Monday, and I just didn't want to give you one more thing to freak out about. Either that, or I was hoping for a bladder infection. You know, whatever.
We were thinking there might be poop on the walls or something, so we just stayed away from it.
No, it's just an old building, and
But the food was good. Maybe the prices wouldn't have seemed so high if I wasn't so poor right now.
It's all relative.
Yeah, it is.
It's like that story in the Bible where the rich man gives a significant amount and the poor lady gives all she has, just one tiny mite. And Jesus is like, but she's cooler than you because she gave everything she had.
Well, then Jesus would have smiled on our meal. That's all I can say.
Because you gave all you had. Huh?
Gave all I had. Even gave him a decent tip.
Well, that's good. And speaking of which, there's a story up on Heather's blog about this, but apparently you had some peculiar service.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is. You probably saw him, tall guy, lots of hair, waiter, obviously.
Was he overperforming at Freak Train?
Did he? He might have. He came to Freak Train. I saw him at Freak Train.
Well, the way you said it, you said it as if I should know who it is.
Well, oh, that's right. You didn't eat there last night. Never mind.
I don't eat there. I refuse to eat there. I ate there one time, and that was enough.
Okay, well, anyway, so you don't know who he is.
Right.
When it came time, it took us forever to get a seat, for one thing. They were packed. And when we finally got seated, we got the menus. We had plenty of time to look at them. When they finally came around to take our drink order, I said, actually, we'd like to order now. And the waiter said, no, that's not how I do it. You need to order your drinks or something along those lines. You know,
drinks now, food later.
That's not how I'm going to do it. You're going to have to order your drinks first. And then we had a lot of speculation as to why that would be. Maybe he has a problem with food. I don't know. But then later he came and took our order for the food. So we were so pushed on that for time. It was just...
Yeah, well, and you know, the thing is, as it, and it never starts exactly at 8 o'clock, the Freak Train, but as it came closer to time, I was looking around straight in my neck to try to find you guys. I'm thinking, they're not going to make it. I can't believe they're not going to make it. I mean, I didn't think you were going to, actually, it did cross my mind that you were going to cut and run. You know, you were just going to call, you know, say, okay, I'm going to cut my losses. I've paid my $5. I'm running now.
Yeah, but, like I'd live that down. I don't think so.
Right. Well, that's true.
No,
once the house lights went down,
yeah,
I was like, no, he's way too polite to come and find us. Yeah, so
yeah.
I figured you were in the building, but you weren't going to come and find the saved seats.
Yeah, that floor is squeaky as hell. When we were walking in, they were doing their opening monologue, and I didn't know who they were since I'd never been there. I thought they were the first act.
So, no, the hosts.
Yeah, so we were squeaking around on the floorboards for a bit, and then we found three seats together at the back, and we sat down and watched from there until intermission. So
yep.
I'll tell you, I don't like the idea of following Pat anymore, though.
Why? I'll tell you, speaking of Pat, Pat, yet another cross-dressing routine from Pat Angelo, and since he's not here to defend himself, what Pat did, and Pat has done this in the past, he has these puppets, and he lip-syncs with the aid of these puppets. A tight routine, you know, I'm flawless lip syncing, but in this case, he was lip syncing to a Kelly Clarkson song, and so he was dressed as Kelly Clarkson, but he was Pat Angelo dressed as Kelly Clarkson, so it was slightly disturbing. I mean, it was comedy gold, certainly, seeing Pat dressed as he was and doing all the moves and the serious rock faces and the Kelly Clarkson stuff. So you just didn't like the fact that he stole the show and you had to follow
him?
Not
that he stole the show. It's just he put on such a good show that it really had me worried about how I was going to do. I didn't want to bomb.
Well, but see, that's the beautiful thing about Freak Train. Everybody that's in attendance understands that they've paid $5 to see potentially the most random show possible, and every act is independent of one another.
Yeah.
Mostly. I think it's easy for the crowds for the people that have been there several times to just let it go. Okay, that was great. What's next? You know, I think you did fine. People laughed. It was great. I mean, you're a tremendously funny writer. So the quality of the material was strong. I mean, yeah, you were a little afraid, and your delivery was a bit shaky, but it all came across. And, you know, you've done it, and so from here on out, it either gets better or you never do it again. And I vote that
it gets
better.
I'm betting that I'll do it again, and it won't get any better. I think every time I go up, I'm going to be that terrified. I really do.
Really? You don't think that as things go on and as you realize, hey, this is okay, and I'm not going to drop dead, my brain isn't going to explode into tiny pieces, which, though, would make a good act. It won't get any easier for you?
I don't know. I guess I'll find out.
Are you that neurotic?
Probably. That's probably why I'm funny. I don't know.
Well, I found it to be funny, and yeah, it was obvious that you were not comfortable on stage, but you know what? That just comes with time. I mean, you haven't done that I think for your first time out, doing any sort of thing live on stage, I think you did fine.
Well, I did better than I expected to, because I was fully expecting to be, you know, low, mumbling, nobody can hear me, and I think I projected reasonably well, so.
You did fine, and that's the thing. I think that, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I think that forcing you to do this podcast has helped in that respect.
Probably, yeah. I don't hate my own voice as much as I used to, but still not fond of it.
you have to learn to...
Don't listen to the podcasts.
You have to learn to live with what you got, make the most of it, and you know what? You did great. I think that from here on out, it'll be easier for you. You'll do good. You'll start to become, you know, you'll start to... And you know what's going to happen is you're going to start thinking, ooh, I can do this. Ooh, I can do that. Ooh, I can do this. And you will. It'll get easier for you. I think you will get more comfortable on stage.
Well, I will say this. We talked on the drive back. I convinced Trevor to try to do something with us or with me or something.
Right. Well, I talked with him on the way out, and I asked him if he would be Jesus in a live rendition of Trinity's Company, and he said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I told Heather that, and she said, no, you're Jesus. He can't be Jesus. I said, he's the second coming. My time is done. Derek nailed me to the cross. I'm done for.
Well, no, you are the original Jesus, so the role still belongs to you if you want.
I might, but I could see him working with us in that in another capacity, yeah. Sure.
Well, I mean,
I can... frankincense with that?
Because Ray Louie, I can guarantee you, will not go. And I can understand. I mean, Ray, you know, God loves him, but he's got a little bit trouble with the whole enunciation thing.
Right.
That final, you want some frickin' scent, or you got some frickin' scent, that was like several takes in. So, you know, that wasn't like one take and you're done, if I remember right.
Right.
So I don't think that he would be comfortable doing it at all. Although I think he would be funny. I've beat you about the head and shoulders about it enough, and you finally relented. Now the only one left that I believe will actually go is Justin Carmichael. And soon we will rule Freak Train. Yeah.
Now we can both bother Justin about this. Until he does it.
That's right, because you're no longer a pussy quitter. You've done it.
Right. And
so now...
And...
What's that?
And I talked with the kid's mom. She doesn't work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday days. She works the latter half of the week. So she would be fine with, even when they're in school, taking them that night.
Taking them?
Yeah, taking them that
good.
Night. So opens up a whole possibility. I mean...
Well, and see, what I usually do, if we've got people going with us, is I arrange ride-to-work type of thing, and then there's a pickup from work and jet straight from work,
right?
That happens, as opposed to, you know, asking for time off early, going and picking people up. It takes a little bit of coordination if you've got people going with you, but it's worth it because you get up there in time to get signed up, and then, you know, you have time to relax,
right?
And think about what you're going to do.
Right. I'm still thinking, though, that I would try to arrange a half day off on the Monday and a half day off on Tuesday, because it was hard to get up in the morning.
I'm used to that because I play hockey until midnight during the winter, and so it's nothing I'm not used to on a regular basis. Yes, it's hard, but you'll get used to it. The first time I did it, I took a half day,
right?
The day of, but I also do the sports officiating, and I had to use a lot of the half days for that, so I was thinking, well, I shouldn't be blowing one half day a month just on Freak Train. And initially when I thought, I loved it, but I'm not going to blow the half days, I was thinking, you know, I'll go up and watch, but I doubt I'll get there in time to sign up. And I was wrong. I was able to get out of town, get up to the Bug Theater in time to sign up every time. And I have, you know, up until this past week, because I was off work anyway, I had been just leaving straight from work.
Right. Now, I would imagine there's a bit of a bottleneck up there on I-25.
There's a bottleneck in the Springs.
Yeah.
because of the construction, but because the T-Rex has been completed up in Denver. Just looking at the TV, Vancouver. So this will date this podcast. Vancouver just went up 2-0 on the Avalanche with 54.5 seconds to go, and I'm pissed.
Mm.
Because the Avalanche need these points.
Yeah.
But because the T-Rex has been completed in Denver, it really doesn't slow down that much once you get out of the springs. It's kind of a steady flow.
Right.
But and the worst case scenario I've had is that I get there right about the time, but you know, it's still in good enough time to get in there and sign up.
Right. Well, I'll have to start giving some thought to other things to do, because I don't want to always go up and read. That would be
right. Well, and you know, that's the thing. I've got a ton of things in my head that I can do.
Right.
There's a lot of them I need help with, and I can always count on Pat. Pat has said, yeah, I will, you know, help you out. I would hope now that I can count on you to help me out as well.
Probably, yeah.
Because you know that if you needed help, I would do it.
I know. I'll help you. I mean, so, sure. Yeah.
Good. I don't mean to, you know, guilt you.
Oh, anyway, no, never.
But you do know that if you said, hey, I need help with a Freak Train thing, I'd be like, all right, cool, what is it?
Yeah, that's true.
Especially if it involves pyrotechnics. because I finally was able to include pyrotechnics in a stupid stand-up act at Freak Train. Actually, what happened was, initially, I had intended to just do kind of half an act and then electrocute myself and fall over dead. And then I was going to set it up with Pat to come out and, like, cover my face with a jacket and see how people reacted. And because I had heard about a thing called a Funken ring, and a Funken ring is what looks, you know, like a normal ring, but there's a mechanism inside in a flint, and it shoots sparks harmlessly out of your fingers. And when I first heard about this, I was thinking, well, that would be great. Well, then I saw an actual wind-up $10 Funken ring in action, and as a close-up prop, it's fine, but as a stage prop, it's worthless. Now, there are electronic Funken rings that would shoot the kind of sparks that I would need for such an effect, but they cost 80 stinking dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys we work with, whose name, Terry, shall remain unsaid, is big, huge into magic. And I was talking to him about this, and he suggested, actually what he did was he went to Zizzo's, which is a magic store here in town, and he bought a Funken ring and he showed me. And then he said, you know what, I talked to the guy there, and he suggested you use a finger flint with some flash cotton and some sparkle additive. And I was like, well, that sounds cool, I guess. And so I researched that on the internet, and I found it's less than $80. Turns out that I had actually got for my birthday, I was given a $50 American Express gift card, and guess what?
What?
Zizzo's takes American Express.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, I blew almost all that $50 on the finger flint flasher and the flash cotton and some flash paper and the sparkle additive. And the guy at the magic shop was telling me, in fact, I mentioned Terry, and he said, oh, you're the guy that wants to have the exploding microphone. So, you know, apparently not too many people come into the shop. But so what he did was he said, now take the flash cotton and get enough and just kind of put a little of the sparkle additive on your finger and rub it on the cotton. That'll be enough. Well, that turned out to be, in my opinion, pansy ass. So what I did, against his advice, the actual magic guy at the magic shop,
right.
I packed the finger flasher with the flash cotton, dumped in a pile of sparkle additive, which is essentially metal filings,
mm-hmm.
and then dumped the excess back into the bottle so it was really saturated with the sparkle, and then packed a little flash cotton on top. Now, on Friday, you kids will get to see the effect, but in my opinion, after watching the video, and I'll get your perspective from the audience,
right.
and you didn't know it was coming, did you?
I didn't know. Well, I only kind of knew it was coming because I remember your prepping and stuff.
Yeah, you know that I mentioned it, but you didn't exactly.
Forgotten
but
it.
From
yeah.
watching the video, the effect was beautiful. The effect was just absolutely excellent. I kind of screwed it up a little bit, but.
Yeah, I thought your hand was too far from the mic when it went off.
You know, and the reason I did that was because I didn't want to singe
their mic. Equipment. Yeah, that's
what. If it were my microphone and my mic stand, I would have grabbed it and set it off because it's just cosmetic, but it's not my stuff. And I wanted to respect it as much as I could while I'm holding fire in my hand. But from your perspective in the audience, when I set off the pyrotechnics, how was it?
It was pretty impressive, yeah, and unexpected.
How did the – well, and because I'm – it's kind of hard when you're on stage to gauge the crowd's reaction as a in toto, as a whole, and on the video because it's so close to, you know, the people who would laugh maybe anyway.
Right.
What was the crowd's reaction when I set it off?
I think a lot of it was stunned silence. I think a lot of people didn't know what just happened. So
I think stunned silence is a nice way to say, nice way of saying nobody laughed.
Well, you got to remember, I was still coming down from my act.
That's true. You were still on the high. No, you still under the influence of the adrenaline.
Yeah, okay. Adrenaline. I'll agree with that. There was no high.
It's a natural high.
No, it wasn't a good feeling. But
what do you mean it wasn't a good feeling?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just don't like crowds. I don't like being in front of them. So
that'll all change. You know, and the funny thing is, when I worked in radio, ask my sister. She hates that sort of thing too, but she worked in radio, you know, broadcasting right. to a couple hundred thousand people at any given time, but it doesn't seem like that when you're on the air. See, kind of how you are right now, sitting at your desk in your home talking into your microphone.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is working in radio. You don't ever see those 400,000 people. They may call you from time to time. The lunatic fringe contingent may call you from time to time, but you don't really realize it. It is doing a live performance of any sort is, you know, it's tough. But it's also something that I think that everybody should have to experience at least once in their life.
You usually do in school. I mean, that's where I did, and that's where
but that doesn't count because those are people that you are forced to intermingle with on a regular basis. These are people who have preconceived notions of you, who, you know, in school, everybody has an identity, fair or not, that is foisted upon you by the groupthink. And in a situation like Freak Train, nobody knows you.
Well,
you don't have to go home with these people. You don't have to see these people the next day. So what do you
I
care?
See you people. What are you talking about?
Well, but you know that we would support you in whatever you did on stage. Unless you, like, you know, did something really extreme.
Right. You wouldn't support that, would you?
I do have limits as far as this whole, you know, performance and speech goes.
Right.
I'm not one of those people that says, you know, sending a dog turd to somebody is protected speech. I say that's just illegal.
Right.
But we're not getting into that right now. We tried that. Well, you tried that last week to try and goad me into political talk. And maybe, you know, it's someday. I know that some people liked that whole, you know, let's clash.
Yeah, they did.
So someday we're going to do that. Someday we're going to get into that whole thing. But that's not today because we really don't have time for
it. No, we don't.
What we do have time for is for you to tell me a little bit about your trip to Estes Park.
Wasn't that like 2 years ago?
Yeah, but I want to hear, did you guys take a tour of the Stanley Hotel or did they not allow tours?
Well, they did allow tours, but they were charging a ridiculous amount and as usual.
From your impoverished perspective, what is this amount that you almost considered to be too much?
I think it was almost $30 a person, but I don't really remember.
$30 a person?
Yeah, it was.
$30 a person.
No, it was a crazy amount. That's all I remember. So we just walked around ourselves on the area that we were allowed to go, and then we went around outside and stuff, and then we had lunch there at the hotel.
Yeah.
Which was
how was the food at the hotel?
I liked it. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Because on Thursday, we're all myself and my wife and my parents are going up to Estes Park.
Well,
to kind of recreate you guys' little excursion from 2 years ago.
So does that mean you're going to try to
gonna go look at something that's no longer there, some burned down recording studio? No, we've learned a lesson. Learn from your mistakes. That's my motto.
Then you're not really recreating it, are you?
No,
you're
I was being a smartass.
Right. Okay.
No, but we're going to go up there, and I just wanted to know if you could tell me anything about it.
It really is funny how close the hotel is to everything. When you compare it to the movies, obviously.
Well, and we're not going to stay at the Stanley Hotel because you know how much it was per night to stay at the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah,
for two
because
people?
We looked at that too. We were wanting to do that.
$400 or $500 a night for two people.
Yep, it's crazy.
That just an insane amount of money. Now we're going to stay at some place called the Fawn Valley Inn, and that's not payola, kids, because I had to pay them to stay there.
Right.
I'm just saying that is a factual point of interest.
Yeah.
So when you were up there, outside of just having lunch at the Stanley Hotel and going and seeing, you know, trying to see something that was no longer there.
Well, we did the looking first, and then we wound up at the Stanley after we couldn't find it.
Well, okay. So did you guys do anything in or around Estes Park that I should know about or that we could do? Or did you see anything that you're hey, I wish I wasn't so poor I could go do that?
We got gas. And at the time, the prices there, I think, were higher than in the Springs.
So. I wouldn't be surprised because you get higher up into the mountains and the gas does go up just because of the whole, you know, getting the gas there logistics.
Right. Just remember, if you get lost in the mountains, according to my son, all you have to do is head down and you won't.
Head down.
Head down.
Head down and you'll get somewhere eventually.
Exactly. Yeah. Just keep
that son of yours is one smart kid.
Isn't he? I think he better not be left in the mountains anytime soon.
He's a chip off the old block. I don't see your kid as being a Boy Scout anytime soon, so I think unless you take him up there and leave him, then he's probably, you know, going to be fine as far as that goes.
Well, we'll see. He is.
Although I would like to see him try to implement his plan.
Wouldn't it be fun? Put it like a
It would be a
GPS tracker on him and
And strap a camera to him and see how far he gets.
Be like the Blair Witch Project, only.
That's right. And it would end the same way, too. I'm cold and afraid.
Yep, sniveling.
Like a simpering child.
He's going to be so mad at me when he hears this.
Well, your kid shouldn't be listening to our podcast.
You would think, yeah.
You'd think. And, you know, if you don't listen, why the hell should... Why the hell
because
would he...
Because Heather listens, and she lets them listen.
She makes it a family event.
Pops popcorn, and...
Gather around the fireplace, kids. We're going to listen to a Dirty Mouth podcast.
Yeah, we aren't that dirty mouthed, really. We don't.
You know, and the last couple episodes, I think we've really not lived up to that whole explicit tag. Yeah. But, you know, it's nice to know that it's there, that the possibility, the ability to reserve the right to curse like a sailor is always there, always hanging over our heads like so much smoke.
Indeed. So was that my cue to start cussing? Because I'm not in the mood.
You have to be in a mood to curse.
I'm not much of a curse. Well, that's not entirely true, but
that's not entirely true. You just are a foul mouthed sumbitch sometimes.
Yeah, but this apparently isn't one of those times. Sorry. Sorry to let you down there.
That's fine. In fact, it's okay because you know you've earned a little bit of leeway now that your freak train cherry has been popped, so to speak.
Right.
I am proud of you. I really am. I was afraid that you would puss out, and you didn't.
Right up to when I wrote my name on the list, I was seesawing. I really didn't know which way I was going to go with it.
Well, and isn't that just the most supportive crowd?
Yeah, they're a really good crowd.
And what did you think of some of the other acts?
Some of the other acts are pretty good.
We're just, I will say that this past Freak Train, there was not large amount of acts where you just go, what the fuck was that?
Right.
There have been times where it's like, what the hell is going on? But as a whole, I think that most of the acts were pretty well thought out. Even the weird little rapper guy at the beginning, which I hear Trevor was laughing at because he didn't understand he was being serious.
Yeah, that's true. At first he thought it was a joke, but then he said halfway through he realized he's serious.
He's serious. He's actually, you know, doing his thing up there on the video screen.
Indeed.
And it's not a comedy act. Although, you know, believe me, Trevor was not alone in the laughing at him. But that's the thing. You know, as a whole, the crowd is respectful enough. They're like, okay, this sucks, but we'll get through it.
Right.
It's only 5 minutes maximum. We'll get through it.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked the Poisoning Pigeons in the Park act. That was pretty amusing to me.
I think that Lynn would have been much better off just singing Poisoning Penguins in the Park.
Exactly.
It works phonetically. In fact, from this point on, because I have that song in one of my karaoke discs, I will probably sing it that way from now on. Poisoning Penguins in the Park.
Yeah, he should have done that. But yeah.
Well, you know, he's his own man.
Indeed. He didn't come to us for advice, so.
Nor would he.
Really. So.
I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. You have been listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, along with the Freak Train No Longer Virgin Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Take care, everyone.
And that abrupt segue says we're out of time. So, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you back again next Wednesday.